Hello and welcome back to the Orozco Way podcast. This is Elise Elizabeth here with a special guest, my mother, Allison, who is here to talk with me about her experience as well as my experience in raising strong-willed children. Mom?
Yes.
Let's see. I guess we'll just kind of like introduce the fact, like my oldest daughter is a very strong-willed child, and my mom raised a strong-willed child, and so I call her for advice all the time, and I've also read a lot of books. And so, for those of you who have the strong-willed children, this is for you, my friends.
Hang on to your hat. It's a ride.
So, Mom, what is the first piece of advice that you would give to somebody who has a strong-willed child?
First thing I would say is the very first thing I learned when I was crying to a friend because I couldn't get my 2.5-year-old to do anything I wanted her to do. And so I was complaining and literally crying tears. And she said, "All of the things you just said about your daughter are attributes that make really good adults." And that has always stuck with me. So being stubborn or determined is the better word. My daughter was so determined to do whatever she set her mind to. And that is actually a really good quality. So she said, "Don't take those away. Don't squash them." So then it became my goal to learn how to get along with her and live in harmony without squashing these really good qualities that just make terrible children, but really great adults. And then the second piece of advice I got when I was once again crying to my father, he said, "Pick and choose your battles." So those two pieces I took to heart, and I had to pick. And then another person that I was in contact with said, "Be consistent. If you don't do anything else, be consistent." So when you pick and choose your battles, I guess that's similar. If you're going to choose that they're going to do a chore once a day before they play, then do that every day. They do their chores before they play. But then they could pick other things. So my battles were, do your best in school. My daughter would argue. She says we made her get straight A's. I never said that. I just wanted them to do their best. Getting a zero is unacceptable. Our children were really smart, so do your best. You have to do your chores, and then you have to have moral conduct, like tell the truth, be honest, those kind of things. Other than that, you can wear ugly clothes to school. You can wear grungy clothes to school. You can, I don't know what all the other battles were. I really wasn't very fussy on food. You can eat this or that. I don't care. I wasn't going to make more food. I'm not a short order cook, but if you didn't like what I made, that I don't care. Go make something else. Go make a peanut butter and jam sandwich. I'm not going to fight with you over food. Those are the three things that I would say first.
So the first thing was kind of allow kind of the fact that the traits that they have are good traits.
Yeah, they really are if you think about it in an adult. You want determined, not wishy-washy adults. They make good leaders. They make good CEOs. You want them to have a mind of their own so they're not followers and going with the trend. And so you want them to have a mind of their own. And I've seen you do it, giving them choices. So you really want them to do this, and they really want to do that. So you kind of say, well, you've got a choice. make it their choice. We're going to do this way or that way, but we're going to do it this, you know, we're going to get this done, and we can do it this way or that way. You choose which way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So they still have power and a choice. And so it takes a lot of thinking and effort and time and patience to word your sentences and questions so that it makes them feel like they have control. My oldest daughter is a control freak, and so kind of am I. So put two of us in the same room together, and it was kind of a clash of the titans. And so we had to make it feel like she was in control of stuff.
Yeah. And she, by the way, is a very successful adult. So
yes.
She has lived up to that.
Yeah, she's a great adult.
Her full potential, for sure. So what if, for example, last night, Milani would not let me brush her teeth, and she didn't want to brush her teeth either. So I kept repeating, do you want to brush your teeth, or do you want me to pin you down on the ground and brush your teeth for you? And she said, no, I don't want either. And we did that probably 3 or 5 times. And then eventually I did end up pinning her down, and she screamed and cried the whole time, and I brushed her teeth forcefully.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that situation where you are trying to give your determined child a choice, but they are determined to not do neither?
When they're tired, they're irrational.
Oh,
and
yep.
It's terrible to deal with a tired child because they're not rational. First of all, I would commend that you stuck with it, that you didn't let her win.
Forward. Yeah.
You stuck with it. But I would say 3 to 5 times of saying that's too many. I was taught, and I don't know that I did a great job of it, but I see the wisdom in it. You only say things twice.
Okay.
Because then there's no argument. The fact that it went on, you know, 5 times, then it's escalating. Each time it goes, it's higher, you know, so you want to keep it so it doesn't escalate.
Mm-hmm.
So you say it 1 or 2 times. When she's irrational, I don't know, but when my kids were little and they didn't want to brush their teeth, I told them they had to pay for their cavities. If you're not going to brush your teeth and you're going to get cavities, then you're going to pay for it. And you're going to have to go to the dentist, and he's going to give you a shot, and he's going to get out a drill, and it's really an unpleasant experience. So it's really way better if you brush your teeth. And it seemed to work. I don't remember ever fighting with you guys to brush your teeth.
Well, something that I had Renee do is I had him show her a YouTube video of a tooth extraction.
Oh.
And it was gory and nasty, and it stuck with her. But last night, she was tired and irrational,
yeah.
And she was still determined.
Did you remind her about that tooth extraction?
Yeah, I remind her all the time, but she still fights me on brushing her teeth. So
yeah.
That will be our never-ending battle, is brushing the teeth.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could do it earlier, so that she's not so tired and irrational.
Yeah, that's a good idea, is doing
it
before she's tired.
Get a jar of pennies, and every time she does it, she gets to take a penny out and put it, because Milani is motivated by money. Oh, that's another thing that I was taught. Children are, if you want to use a negative term, it's kind of manipulated. Children are manipulated by what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So give her what she wants if she does what you want. And,
yeah.
You know, and Milani likes money.
Mm-hmm.
So give her a penny.
Well, she definitely is results oriented and rewards oriented, and she likes her charts. She likes to put X's on her charts whenever she does what she's supposed to do. And so I have talked about getting her a toothbrush chart,
mm-hmm.
and rewarding her with a new game or
mm-hmm.
something every time that she gets all of her X's on the chart. So I'll have to give that a try, because the chart has worked.
Yeah, try that.
Outside of everything.
If she brushes her teeth for a week, you go to the dollar store or something.
Okay, so the first thing was the determined child has great adult qualities that you do not want to strip them of. You want to actually foster those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like my sibling, my sister, who has turned out great, I hope that Milani also turns out great. Like her. The second thing was choose your battles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was fighting on everything. I want you to wear this shirt with these shorts, with these socks, with these shoes, and have this bow, because I really like the whole complete outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to eat this food and all of it, and, you know, this sandwich and these carrots and these chips or these apples for lunch. I don't know. I want you to wear your hair this way.
Yeah.
I want you to, I mean, it felt like, I guess, we were, you know, you got to pick up your toys, you got to do this. We were fighting over everything. Mm-hmm. And so to pick and choose battles was a big help for me. So I could let go of the hair. I don't care how you wear your hair. If we're going someplace nice, your hair needs to be done. So do you want it in pigtails? Do you want it in a ponytail? Do you want it this? We have to at least brush it. You know, what do you want to do with your hair? But you get to choose your hair because that's not a battle.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear whatever clothes you want to wear unless we're going somewhere nice. And like church, you need to wear a dress. I don't care what dress, but you need to wear a dress.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going somewhere fancy for some occasion and you need to wear a dress, then you need to wear a dress, but you can pick which dress.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can pick, even to school, you can wear whatever you want. It has to be clean.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, when the kids were folding their own clothes, I thought this was a good lesson, and a pick and choose your battle. So Brittany wanted to change her clothes 3 times a day. And it drove me crazy because that creates a lot of laundry because Brittany can't wear anything for more than a couple hours without it getting filthy dirty. So I let her do it. And she's about 4, maybe 5. And so on folding day, she gets out her basket of clothes and Michelle has her basket of clothes and they dump them on the floor and Brittany starts to cry. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she goes, "Well, my pile's twice as big as Rochelle's." I said, "Yes, it is. You change your clothes 3 times a day and you get them so much more dirty. If you only wore your clothes once a day, you would have a small pile like Rochelle's." And it did decrease. She thought about that. She decided she didn't want to fold all those clothes because that takes more time. Rochelle was done in half the time and Brittany's still sitting there folding clothes. So that was a good kind of pick and choose your battle. I didn't battle her on it. I let her figure out the consequence of it. And then Brittany's idea of folding clothes was to shove them in her drawer. And so when she pulled them out, they were pretty darn wrinkly. But when Michelle pulled hers out, they were pretty darn straight. And she's like, why do my clothes look like they've been in a wad? And I said, because you shove them in your drawer. You don't fold them and put them in there nicely. So that was something Brittany had to decide, if she wanted to wear nicer clothes, straightened, or if she wanted to wear them like they've been all wadded up.
Yeah.
I think sometimes she didn't care. She said she wore wrinkly clothes.
She probably still doesn't really care.
Yeah, she probably doesn't.
Well, so I talked to my sister and asked her about some advice as well, and kind of along the lines of choosing your battles, she advised me to give Milani appropriate choices for her age. And the reason for that, because as a parent you might ask, why would I do that? Isn't that taking, I don't know, the power, or giving the power to the child and creating like a spoiled child or something? But Rochelle said that it helped her feel respected. Because the thing is, these little children are kind of like mini adults, and they actually think like adults, and you can actually communicate with them like adults, I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've learned that I can talk to Milani pretty much like I would talk to any other adult person.
Mm-hmm.
And she respects that or appreciates that when I talk to her very directly. And she's in a better mood when I give her appropriate choices. She respects me and listens to me more when I am putting my foot down, because I only put my foot down, she knows, typically when it's something that is serious or whatever. And so it's been something that's really worked for us as well.
That reminds me of something, because it goes along the same thing. If all you do is say no and that's all they hear, mm-hmm. they tune it out. But if you say yes just as often as possible, when you do say no, it means something to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you say no, have a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
That because I said so.
No.
To me, even as a child, I couldn't stand to hear that mm-hmm. as a child. And I was fortunate my mom never said that, but my friends' moms did.
Mm-hmm.
And it drove me crazy. And so when my mom said no and I would say why, she always gave me a good reason, then there was no reason to fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I said no to Rochelle a couple of times, she went, you know, she walked away, and then she came back and she said, how about if we do it this way? And 9 times out of 10, it was great. She had come up with a different solution that fixed whatever I was feeling like it was a no answer. Like, that is that I don't feel right about that, and this is why. And she would fix it, and she would come back and say, well, let's do it this way. How do you feel about that? And then I would say, oh, that's a great idea. And they need to hear that's a great idea a lot. It fosters confidence, and it fosters mm-hmm. them continuing to do critical thinking and to mm-hmm. solve problems and come up with a solution that works. And so be a reasonable parent.
Yeah.
And don't say, because I said so, because I'm the mom. Mm-hmm. Or these, they're kind of lazy answers.
Yeah.
And they're answers because you don't want to do it because you're not in the mood.
Yeah.
Well, then just say that. Say, I'm really not in the mood, I'm tired, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But give them a concrete answer so that mm-hmm. they can then come up with a solution maybe that fixes it.
Yeah. And Milani does that. Even as a 3-year-old, she comes up with solutions.
Mm-hmm. And you can praise that because it's good critical thinking skills.
Yeah. So we've got good traits in an adult. Pick your battles. Mm-hmm. What was the other ones?
Pick and choose your battles. What was the third?
We already forgot.
Yeah.
What did your dad?
Be consistent.
Be consistent. Oh, that is a big one.
Be consistent, because otherwise, that is critical. Absolutely critical, actually, because when you are inconsistent, it kind of is, in a way, dishonest.
Yeah.
And then you lose credibility.
Yep. And they don't trust you anymore.
Right. You don't want to lose credibility with your children. So, and this goes across the board. If you say, I'm going to pick you up at 5 o'clock at this place, then you need to be there at 5 o'clock at that place, or have a really good reason why you weren't. And nowadays with cell phones, you can at least call and text and say, I'm going to be 5 minutes late and this is why. But, you know, my mom would show up 30 minutes late. And so it left me feeling really insecure. Is she going to come? Is she ever going to come? Did she forget me? Mm-hmm. And so I always had this unease feeling. And so you need to do what you say you're going to do. So if you're going to take away the toys because they did something wrong, then take them away.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to go to timeout, then put them in timeout.
Yeah, so definitely don't threaten anything that you're not willing to follow through with.
Right.
So if you're out playing at the park with a group of friends and you say, if you don't listen to me, we're going to go home, then you better be ready to pack up and go home.
And don't say, like, you're going to be in big trouble. What does that mean? That's not concrete. You have to have, we're going to go home, or I would more put them in the car.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving because you might want to stay, you know, or
we're going to go to the car for timeout.
Who's punishing who there? Be careful what you do too, because it could be punishing you.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about it. And don't be afraid to say, I have to think about this for a minute. Don't just speak out fast. Say, you did that and it made me really upset. I have to think about this for a minute and decide how I'm going to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say something like, we're going to go home, and then you don't really want to go home, you've kind of created a problem for yourself. But you can think about it, and then you can say, okay, I've thought about it, and this is what I've decided.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to change your mind, too, because at times I have acted rashly and done something, and I thought it was okay. I feel like it was okay to go back to them later and say, I've been thinking about this. I don't feel like I handled it the right way. I don't like how I handled it. I've changed my mind. So you're not grounded for 2 years. You're only grounded for one.
one instead of 2 years?
You know, something like that. You know, whether it was like you're grounded for a week or, you know. I remember Dad taking the car away from Rochelle, and I said, you just punished me because now I have to drive her everywhere she goes. So maybe we should say you're grounded from the car for fun things, but you can drive yourself to school.
Yeah.
You know, so you can come back and you can say, we've thought about this, we've changed our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You get the car when you have to go to work and when you have to go to school, but you do not get the car to go to the movies, the mall, or anywhere with your friends. Something like that. Yeah. So I think it's okay to change your mind, but be consistent. Do what you say you're going to do so that they always know. And then, you know, I think my son Josh will tell you what I'm going to do on just about any given thing. They'll say, oh, no, my mom won't like that. oh, mm-hmm. you know, my mom will laugh at that, or my mom, that'll be okay with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows me really well and knows how I would respond to most everything. He's not very often surprised.
Yeah. And that also helps foster obedience more, I think, because then they get it in their heads what is and is not okay with you, so they already know. So they're not going to try pushing your limits. You know, like, mm-hmm. oh, how far can I push mom on this? Because mm-hmm. I know she's swayed before in the past.
Right. If you cave ever, then all they've learned is if I push hard enough,
mm-hmm.
eventually they'll cave. Yeah. So don't cave. So you have to think, and so if you have to stop and think about it, so if you really want them to eat their hamburger and french fries before you get them the ice cream cone, you have to really stop and think about it. Because a half an hour later when everybody's screaming at you, do you want to get them the ice cream cone? Well, if you do, then just go ahead and say yes now.
Yeah.
Because otherwise all you're doing is teaching them to whine and fuss at you and that you can be swayed. So, and think about it. You know, some people will be like, oh, no, I've never given them ice cream before I made them eat their hamburger and french fries. But after you've had five kids, you're like, I don't care.
Oh, sure.
Have that ice cream cone. Are you going to be quiet? There's milk in that. And the cone, that's got some kind of flour. That's your grain. As you get older, you don't really care as much.
Okay, so we've got consistency, choose your battles, and fostering the strengths of your determined child. Is there anything, like, any regrets that you have that you wish you wouldn't have done with your strong-willed child that don't fall in line with those three things, maybe?
Well, I didn't do all of them. I wasn't consistent with all of them for a long time. I didn't learn the consistency one until she was in junior high.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a long time to probably not be as consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty consistent with picking and choosing my battles because she was so much stronger-willed. And so I had to really sit there and think, am I willing to fight for this for 5 hours if I have to?
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty consistent in that. But she'll still tell you, in her junior high and high school years, we were clashing a lot. I was too controlling of her, mm-hmm. and her type of personality. Mm-hmm. So it really caused some really negative things that she did to have control of her own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do it well enough. It helped me with future children, because I don't feel like any of our children were wishy-washy, easy children. She was by far the strongest willed, but I feel like everybody was strong in their own way, and so I tried to learn from her. I always joked with her that she was the guinea pig, but that was how it was supposed to be. So
she could handle it.
She could handle it.
She's so strong. Yeah. She could handle anything, I swear.
And so it taught me a lot more, you know, and with my second daughter, who is so creative, and letting her experiment with her creativity. So she would get Kool-Aid and dye her hair.
I remember that.
And she was really blonde, so the dyes were all over the place. And if she'd have been my first child, no way. And I probably looked at other mothers with children with multicolored rainbow hair and thought, oh my gosh, what are they doing? That's terrible. They don't have any control or whatever.
Yeah.
But with Brittany, we let her do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's hair and it's Kool-Aid and it washes out. And she is so... She has such a need to express herself artistically,
mm-hmm.
that you can't squash that. It would have been like squashing a bug.
Yeah.
And so I learned these things. I was just slow in implementing them on a consistent basis. I did it for the most part, but I don't think I did it good enough. Rochelle had a hard time with me. She would tell you. We had a rocky hard time.
Okay. Well, this has been great, and I just want to close by saying, like, and I still cry about this sometimes, but you did not create a monster. Like, it wasn't your doing that your child is as determined as they are. Like, I don't want to say fault, because it's not a bad thing that your child is determined. And other moms who don't have determined children might look at us and think, oh my gosh, your child is so spoiled. You've got to get the reins on that kid. And you got to get them under your thumb, you know. But that's just so not true. It's not the case. In fact, what I've learned from my books is that it's actually virtually impossible to spoil a child unless you give them things. That's what I've learned, is that things are the only thing that can essentially spoil a child, or just giving them whatever they want all the time.
I was going to say, it's attitude. I always said you guys were spoiled, but not spoiled rotten. Spoiled means you're very ungrateful, and feeling entitled. So if your children thinks they're entitled to everything and they're not grateful, then they're spoiled. But you can have things and still not be spoiled.
Yeah, so, right. But as a little tiny toddler or a little kid,
I don't think you can
who's
spoil.
Determined, it doesn't mean that you have done anything wrong. It's just that they have the determined nature, which is actually a good thing. You just have to navigate it appropriately.
Yes. I had moms look at me like I didn't know what I was doing and my child was out of control.
Yeah, I have moms looking at me like that all the time. And I totally, for the most part, I totally feel like I've got this thing under control. And other moms look at me and think, wow.
Yeah. But they have easy
And I'm like, you don't
understand.
I've got this.
Yeah. And they don't understand.
No.
Their kids are so easy and they think it's because they're great parents.
Anyways, thanks for listening to this special episode on determined children. Thanks for being here, Mom.
Yep.
And we will catch you guys next time. This is the Orozco Way.